We're going to be partaking communion today and having a meal together. It's a good time. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 14. Luke 22:14, share a word here on the line of communion. It says, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them with desire, or great strong desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I want to focus on this verse 15. We'll cover some other things, but I'll keep coming back to this. Jesus had a great desire, very strong desire. He was looking forward to this day. Very strong desire, looking forward to this. The time had come. He's going to partake the Last Supper. And it would be the last time he would actually eat until he was raised from the dead. There are times in our life like we really look forward to something like really, really strong. And we all have things like that. Now, for some of you kids, it might be Christmas. You looking forward to Christmas? Might say, that's a long way off yet. Some of you might have the days counted down. Does anyone know how many days till Christmas? How many? 86 days till Christmas. So I know you're looking forward to it, that you know that information. And it could be like a birthday or Thanksgiving. You know, we're going to have a family get together, or Christmas. Or it could be maybe you're playing sports and it's like the big game. But there's things like we really look forward to in life. And Jesus was really, 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 really looking forward to this day for what he was going to do in sharing this meal with the disciples. Now, I'm going to share in a few moments why he was looking forward to that. But I want to go further down in the chapter, and that was a little bit later. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying before he's going to go to the cross, before he'll take our sin upon himself, before he's going to die. And it says he was in great agony, so much he was sweating blood. Now, sometimes in our life, when we look ahead, some things we dread. I remember when I was a boy, back in the old days, they had not yet really mastered Novocaine. How many of you remember that? And I dreaded going to the dentist. I dreaded it. Because at that time, it was not really well understood that sugar is going to cause cavities. Back in the old days, they didn't know that. And as a kid, it would be nothing for my sister and I to eat a Hershey's candy bar and drink a can of Coke and go to bed. Because we didn't know any better. But there's a problem. See, there's some things you might do, and other maybe laying there like this for a half an hour. We didn't have an immediate consequence. But after a couple years of doing that, there was a consequence. We had cavities. And we went to the dentist, and if I would have understood certain words back then, I would have thought this guy had pleasure inflicting pain on little kids, because that's what he did. And it was horrible, because maybe there'd be like four cavities, and you get the high-speed drill out. That was bad enough, but then there'd come that grinder. I mean, I can still hear that in my head today. And I dreaded that because it was always a bad experience for me. I mean, so much the one time I might have been about 11 and I knew I was supposed to go to the dentist that day. And I left my home early in the morning and did not come back till that night because I was not going to go and be tortured again. So sometimes in our life, there's things like we really look forward to. It's like, oh, I can't wait, Christmas. And then there's things you dread. Now, probably for most of you kids, you don't even get cavities. So is there any of you never even had a cavity yet? See, you don't understand the torture I'm talking about. But if someone's over about the age of 60, they know what it is to be tortured. So, yeah, you paid for it. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough for torture. We got to pay for this. But there might be something else you would dread. Maybe it's a big test at school or something. You know, there's things that you would not look forward to. Well, Jesus had both of these things in the same day. I mean, it was like Christmas and going to the dentist on the same day. And it's a very emotional time. On top of that, Judas betrayed him and he's sitting at the dinner table. And that's the worst emotion I think you can experience, is someone betraying you. I mean, for me personally, that's the worst experience, being forsaken and betrayed. Then after that, the disciples are arguing who's going to be the greatest. And it's like, he poured 3 years of his life in them. It's like they didn't hear a word that he said. So he has to deal with them. Not only are they not there to stand with him in his hour of need, but they're arguing who's the greatest as though they didn't even hear a thing he said. So he had to deal with all of this in the same day. And sometimes, you know, we have things that there's this whole mix of emotions. And it might actually even be on the same day. That's what it was here for Jesus. He knew what was coming. He knew Judas is going to betray him. He knew Gethsemane's coming. He's going to be going to the cross. He knew what was ahead, but he was still able to say, I so look forward to this. I so have such a desire for this time where I'm going to sit with you and we're going to have the Passover meal together. We're going to remember the deliverance out of Egypt. We're going to remember that together. I so look forward to that. You know, sometimes in life, there's some things that are tough, hard, and not good. But as you're facing that, if you'll fix your eyes on the Lord, you can embrace that which is good in the midst of something bad coming up. And that's something we have to learn to do. It's not necessarily easy. Jesus, when he was in the garden, was praying and praying, and the Lord, God sent an angel to strengthen him. And that angel strengthened him, and he went on in that strength. So with the hard times, with the things you dread, we can pray and God give us what we need to go through it. At the same time, he was able to sort of block that out. Jesus learned how to live a moment at a time. He sort of blocked that out. I'll deal with that when I get there. You know, sometimes there's things that, well, tomorrow we're going to have to do this. And it's bad. So today we'll enjoy ourselves. For Jesus, it's all on the same day. And he was so disciplined to live one moment at a time. Right now, at this point, the scripture, right now, he's going to enjoy this meal with them. He was looking forward to that. And some hours later, it's onto the cross and all that came with that. So he said, with great desire, I've desired this. Now, why? Well, for one, as they had the Passover meal, which New Covenant we call communion, as they had that, they were to remember every year that God brought them out of slavery, out of being slaves. They worked sun up to sundown. They worked. That's all they did was work as a slave. They were beaten. They were whipped. And they so much wanted to be free and to be out from that. And God set them free through many miracles. They were slaves to the most powerful country in the world, Egypt. And through all these miracles of judgment, he set them free. But the 10th one was the angel of death would pass over. And of the Egyptians, all the firstborn sons were going to die. And they did. And God said, I want you to slay a lamb, each one of your households, and put the blood on the doorpost. And when the angel of death sees that, he's going to pass over. He's not going to stop and visit your house. He's going to pass over. And that was where their deliverance came. Because finally, Pharaoh said, that's enough. Get out of here. Get away from me. This is too terrible. All these miracles of judgment. He said, go. You know, go out and worship. Go out to your gods. Get away from us. And they were set free. So they were instructed to remember what God did. Now, we want to remember that every day, what the Lord's done for us. But for them, they had that once a year feast, and they had the Passover meal. So it was a time of celebration. Every time we gather to worship the Lord, we have that every time we gather, where we are celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, today we're doing so in just a formal acknowledgement of that. But when we just come before the Lord to worship, we're celebrating him. When we sing of his goodness, that's celebration. That's good news. Like, oh, God, you're so good, God. And we're expressing our faith to the Lord concerning who he is. The second reason why this was so special and so important is he says, I'm not going to eat anymore until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He's speaking of the Passover. The Passover meal was a picture of Jesus to come, a picture of their deliverance from sin, and that Satan would have no power over them. It would be fulfilled. So on that day, it's being fulfilled, finished, completed. And he was so looking forward to this because the job is about to be finished. Now, there's times when we do things that are work. Work. Yeah, work. That there's a goal in mind, and you really feel good knowing you finished the job. You know, people that have everything given to them and never have to learn to work, they never know what that is. You know, when dad or mom's making you work, that's a good thing. You learn to work. We are on this earth to work for God. We also work in the natural. And Jesus, he's saying, it's so good to see that's finished. When you complete the work or a job, there is a certain satisfaction there. Maybe you're given the task to clean up your room. And you say, yeah, thank you, Mom, for the opportunity to work. Y'all do that, right? Thanks for the opportunity to work. But now you may not say that, but being obedient, submissive, young men and women, you do the job. And when it's finished and you look and you see what you did, you feel good, right? Maybe some of you are cutting the grass, and you're helping dad out or mom. You're cutting the grass. And, you know, it's work, hot sun and all that. But when the job's finished and it looks nice and you know you did that and it's finished, there's like a good feeling in a sense. Well, Jesus was on this earth to do the Father's will. He was here to make it possible that we could be raised up with him. We could be free from sin, free from demonic, and enter in and experience all that God has for us, all the blessing, all of his goodness. He made that possible for us. And he's facing coming to the completion of that work. Now, at this point, he's saying this Passover meal, it's going to be the last one like this. The next time I'll be having entered into the kingdom of God. So now we look back at what Jesus did. When Jesus was there, they looked back at what God did to bring him out of Egypt. We look back at what Jesus did to pay for our sins, that sins could be removed and a gift of the Holy Spirit be given where God come and live in us. And as a result of that, we can partake of love and peace and joy. Now, there's times, you know, one thing that's fun about little people, some of you maybe call yourself a little person. Hopefully that's not offensive, but is children naturally enjoy life. They naturally do. Sometimes people get older and they forget. My wife says to me, everyone should like teach in like preschool or something like that for a little while, just to be around the attitude of a child. Like, whoopee, yeah, we're going to have fun. Wow, Mrs. Hake, there's a squirrel outside. Look at the flower. Just to enjoy life in a simple way. And sometimes people get older and they begin to forget that. When we had our school before and I would do chapel, you used to see this, the younger ones would get into it. They didn't really know that they should be concerned of what their friends think. But you have somebody that's entering their teen years and are worried about, is somebody going to make fun of me? Is someone going to think something of me? And that's sad to me, because you don't ever want to get to where you're so worried what everybody else thinks that you can't enter into the joy of whatever's before you. In that case, just to sing and have fun and even be a little silly. But you know, you can do that. You can do that and not make a fool of yourself. You know, when I enter into worship, it's for the Lord. I don't really care what anybody else thinks. Now, I'm not, you know, playing Simon Says or trying to act like a clown or anything, but it doesn't matter what anybody else would think. You know, young kids don't think like that. And when they're like four, it's kind of scary. Take them to the grocery store, put them in the cart, and, you know, you'll be going past someone. They might just say, "You're ugly." I mean, that's what they're thinking. Young children will just say what they think. You have to become wise and think before you speak. Well, we want to learn to appreciate whatever's before us that's good, even though there's negative things we have to deal with. And that's more natural to a child. But as a child, you want to learn to hang on to that. And a lot of it's just a mental discipline. Sometimes people, when they're young, go through some bad things and are just like always afraid of something, you know, happening, this thing happening again. Let's say you get stung by a bee and swell up. And every time you see a bee, it's like, huh. Well, the Lord can set us free from that, from fears like that. And we have to learn that even though those things are real, enjoy what God has for you, what's before you. And Jesus, he had that working. He had this, he was so looking forward to the communion meal. Even though all these bad things are out there, he dealt with that when it came. Now he goes on here, and that's why he was so looking forward. He's going to finish the job, finish the work. So it says, he took the cup and gave thanks, said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Or as you do this, remember me. Remember that I'm the one who's dying for you, that you can live. Likewise, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you." So Jesus proceeds on then to give the cup and the bread. And he's teaching them here. Now we look back to that time and we are instructed, 1 Corinthians, to continue to do that. to continue remembering the Lord. Of course, we should do every day remember him, but this is one of the ways. And the very foundation of all that we have in him is what he did with his body and his blood.